Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello everyone, hello football fans around the world, welcome to the Squawker Talker. My name is Nick English and today we're talking about Euro 2016 last 16 phase. It's the knockouts. We've all been waiting for this. It's been very confusing with permutations and rotations and all this sort of thing. I'm joined by Greg Stober, our chief reporter. Hello Greg.
Hello Nick.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent stuff. Also joining us is our social media honcho, James McManus. How are you, James?
Honcho, lovely. Yeah, I'm good.
Stephen.
I'll take honcho.
Stefan honcho. Also joining us is chief content officer Amar Singh. Hello, Amar.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. I'm very well. Thanks for asking. Okay, let's get straight into it. And a positively bizarre round of 16 bracket basically means that one of Switzerland, Poland, Croatia, Portugal, Wales, Northern Ireland, Hungary, or Belgium will actually make the final of the tournament. Amar, has this draw and the sort of tournament format, it's resulted in a very unusual sort of knockout phase, and we could potentially get a very surprising winner.
It's utterly bizarre, isn't it? On one side of the draw, you've got these celebrated teams that have won trophies throughout history: Germany, Italy, Spain, France,
England.
Honourable mention to England there. And then on the other side, you know, you have some of the lesser lights, if you like, of European football. But I think it's intriguing. I think, you know, some of these teams that are in the last 16 are there on merit, absolutely. You know, the likes of Hungary, for example, the likes of Iceland. You know, you have to give them credit for some of their performances. Wales, certainly. So I think, if anything, when we look ahead to the last 16, it's almost like, forget the reputations. Let's look at these teams on merit, because a lot of them have played really well and deserve to be where they are.
James, what sort of ties are sticking out to you, sort of thinking, hello, that's going to be good to watch?
I mean, this is a bizarre tournament. Basically, no one goes home yet. Everyone gets a second chance.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, right, you finished third. There's a potential quarterfinal waiting for you if you ever play well one game. Portugal have got through with three draws. They're the first team ever to go through the Euros group stage with three draws. The ties that I'm looking forward to in particular are Germany-Slovakia. I think Slovakia didn't really cover themselves in a great light against England, but they did what they had to do to get through the group. But they beat Germany 3-1 in the friendlies before the tournament. They've got the sort of game that they can take to Germany, Hamsik, Weiss, and who's the other one? Robert Mack, mm-hmm. Return of the Mack. slide that one in. They're very good front three. They can trouble potentially pretty slow and clumsy German defence. They've only really got Boateng, who's top class in that back four. Played Kimmich at right back. He's a centre mid. Other ones on paper, obviously Italy, Spain. Spain just seem to battle them every time they play them. The Euros final and beat them in the groups as well. And the other one I'm really looking forward to is Wales, Northern Ireland. I literally have no idea what's going to happen there. Like, genuinely no idea.
I think you've said you're looking forward to every single game.
I'm just liking the football, really.
Just looking forward
I'm just
to
having
the
a good month.
Greg, how do you assess England's chances? I mean, very, very lucky. I mean, it was one way of looking at it. They've bagged Iceland in the round.
Is that a pun?
They bagged Iceland. I've been working on that all week. They bagged Iceland. Iceland got a last minute goal to make sure that they qualified second, and you know they're going to be facing England. How do you assess England's chances in that tie?
Well, they'll get past Iceland. You'd think so, at least, wouldn't you? I mean,
you'd hope so. Yeah.
Iceland played. You know, we've seen England struggle against Slovakia and Russia and against Wales to an extent as well, and Iceland are going to play a similar way. And we were actually talking in here after the England game on Monday saying maybe it would suit them to play a team that give them a bit more space and can come at England a bit, because it's going to be the same story again. I think we're going to have to be patient, and there's been a little bit of a backlash against the backlash in the last few days with England, people saying, oh, well, actually they played well, but we haven't been playing good teams at all. And you're waiting for a good performance. I think they'll scrape through Iceland, and then they're going to have to produce the big one when we play France.
Well, Amar, isn't there an argument that, you know, England haven't been playing great teams, but, you know, Germany haven't played, you know, fantastic teams as well. And, you know, if you look over the three games, England have only conceded 12 chances created. They've only conceded 8 shots on target, and they've created 52 chances, had 36 shots on target, which is, you know, no other team at the tournament managed to better that record. Is it just a case of Hodgson's built a platform and the strikers aren't doing their job, or is it going to be the same story against Iceland? We can't get a result despite completely dominating the game?
Yeah, I think those stats show that England haven't been utterly dysfunctional at this tournament like they were in 2014 in Brazil. They've been playing, you know, fluent and fluid football. They've been keeping hold of the ball. But as you say, the finishing touch hasn't been there very often. And, you know, I think what was sorely lacking with England last week against Slovakia was they were just not able to finish the job. You know, they just weren't able to put the finishing touch. They were lacking an Andy Carroll. They were lacking someone with a bit of presence to actually just put the ball away. And I think there was just... I think England increasingly throughout the match just looked out of ideas. And that would be a concern, I think, against Iceland, because Iceland will sit back, I think, and they will look to pick England off the break.
James, did anybody envisage that that Roy's problem would be his strikers before the tournament? Do they need Andy Carroll? Do we need to fly out Andy Carroll or get him on the train?
I personally still wouldn't have taken Andy Carroll. I was very much, let's take Rashford if he's in freakish form. He's very, very good. Take your best players. Andy Carroll, for all his plus points and strengths, he's not a very good footballer, is he, technically? And I think you contrast what happened in Euro 2012. England literally couldn't string three passes together. When we went out to Italy, the biggest pass combination was Joe Hart to Andy Carroll. I think it was 8 or 9 times. That was embarrassing.
Great game.
And look how good we are now on the ball. Put into context, we probably are in the second weakest group, barring the Portugal, Hungary, Austria one, Iceland one. But we've kept the ball superbly well. I didn't think Wilshere and Henderson both got a lot of criticism during and after the Slovakia game. But what was their job in the team was to keep hold of the ball and create chances. I think they created 5 chances in between them, had a pass accuracy combined with about 85-86%. So they did their job. The problem was Sturridge and Vardy didn't finish the major 2 chances we created. If one of them sticks that way, we qualify top.
I think it's an issue just with the way some of the so-called smaller teams have been playing in the tournament full stop. I mean, it's not just Harry Kane and Daniel Sturridge and Jamie Vardy who've been struggling. It's Robert Lewandowski, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Thomas Müller's still to score. So I think it's a bit of a wider point with the way teams are playing in this tournament, which is why we say England might actually be better off playing against a team that come at them
actually play
a little bit more. But it is time to deliver for England now. I mean, the teams we're talking about, Iceland, Russia, Wales, these are teams that England were put away in qualifying, and they're not able to be ruthless enough when it really matters in the tournament. And we've been waiting for Hodgson to deliver now. This is his third tournament. You know, we gave him a shot to nothing in 2012 because he only had a couple of months. And 2 years ago at the World Cup, there was no expectation at all, and he picked a young squad. So we kind of backed him and said, all right, give him one more. But England have still won 3 games in 10 tournament matches under him. And the teams they've beaten are Sweden, Ukraine and Wales. So it's time for Hodgson to deliver in the next couple of weeks.
There's not really any teams. I know England are in the stronger half of the draw, but besides Spain, there's not really a team I fear there. I know France look really...
You're not scared of the French?
No, they're very disjointed, aren't they? They can't work out a way to make Pogba and Griezmann replicate their club form. They've got these two phenomenal world-class players, and they're England's golden generation. This is France's golden generation. And whenever a country has a golden generation, they never fulfil it, basically, besides Spain. And Spain's the only one I fear on that side. I really didn't want to put, like, Croatia were... All my pre-tournament predictions were basically rubbish. I predicted Croatia not to go through because they'd have no fluency, and they've been the exact opposite. They've been the dark horse of the tournament. Perisic is on fire. Modric, when he's back fit. Badej in midfield. They look like a really, really good team. They're a team to fear. I don't fear Germany, per se.
Yeah, I think it's, the danger is reading too much into it. For me, France have got too much talent not to come good at some point in this tournament. I just think they're going to click at some point. And I think Pogba is still very young. People forget that. He's still asserting himself and establishing himself and his role in this France side. You know, he's not quite the Zidane. He's not quite the Vieira. He's probably a little bit of both. And I think how Deschamps balances that midfield with Matuidi, with Pogba, Kante. Pogba seemed to play quite well when Kabay was there, for example. So I think there's going to be a bit of tinkering to be done with that France midfield.
Who's your favourite, Amar, for the...
France, still.
Yeah?
Sticking
to France.
Yeah, I agree. They have not got going yet, but it's early days. And they still top their group. They're still through. They've done that classic thing of winning despite not playing well. And I think they're going to... I think they're going to click into gear, and I think the Irish will probably suffer.
I think their back four, though, France is like, you can get at them. Patrice Evra's 34, Sanya's 33, Koscielny's got a mistake in him, Adil Rami's not top class. Like, they've missed Varan. I think that you can get at their back four.
That's probably the weakest part of their team. Yeah.
Evra's been a big problem for me watching them.
Absolutely savaged in the French press, by the way. They are desperate for him to be switched out, which is a bit surprising, given he's been, he's managed to work his way back into the team, and now they want to get rid of him.
I agree with Amar. I mean, to win a tournament, you only need to play well once or twice, and for at least one or two of these teams, that's not, maybe it's going to be Germany, maybe France, maybe even England.
James, who's your favourite? Looking at this draw, looking at this bracket,
I'm still going to Spain. I think they had I think the first 20 minutes, they dominated Croatia, a very good Croatia team. They just took their foot off the gas a bit, and qualification in the bag, took their eye off the ball. But we talk about France having a talented team. Spain have a talented team, but they've actually won the lot. They're not potential. They're the thing. They're the real deal. You've got Busquets, Iniesta. I don't think Fabregas should be starting. I think it should be Koke or Thiago. But Morata, they've got the joint top goal scorer at the tournament. Nolito's probably...
He's looked good, hasn't he?
He's looked good. They've basically got the best two centre halves, or two of the top three, four centre halves in the world in PK and Ramos. Got Juan Fran, a dogged right back. Jordi Alba's actually in decent form, and De Gea hasn't had a great tournament, but they've probably got this debatably the best goalkeeper in the world as well. I think they're the runaway favourites, surely.
I mean, there's astonishing facts about Spain's Euro record. I mean, Spain's goals conceded at Euros. Euro 2008, they conceded to Karisteas. Then there's a 1,453-day gap. Then it's Di Natale at Euro 2012. Then 1,472 days later, it's Kalinic. And against Croatia, they lost their first game at the Euros since June 20th, 2004. 1-0 loss to Portugal. That's 4,385-day run. Ridiculous. Amar, has everyone just written off Spain because we're kind of bored of them winning?
I think that's an element of Spain that people seem to forget, is that they're actually a very solid team. I mean, people always look at Iniesta and, the passing and tiki-taka that they've brought in during this great period of dominance that they had from 2008, and perhaps forget that they're actually a pretty solid team. I think Morata, for me, has been the difference maker for them in a way this tournament, just having a number nine who can function as a proper striker. Iniesta's been exceptional. He's been absolutely exceptional. Definitely one of the players of the tournament so far. Italy-Spain, though, will be a really interesting encounter, because on paper, you're just thinking, yeah, Spain always tend to dominate Italy over the last few games, notably the final in 2012. But there is no better defence than that Italy defence at the tournament. If they're on their game, they're going to look to really stifle the Spanish attack. And the interesting subtext to me is Morata. Where has he been playing all season? Juventus. So, those Juventus defenders are going to know exactly what to do to shut him out.
Can't see Morata getting a lot of change out of Bonucci and Barzagli. Actually, weirdly, Real Madrid have activated his buyback clause this week, and that might be interesting for Arsenal, who obviously were targeting Jamie Vardy this week, and they were obviously very, very keen on him, wanting to get in. But he's just signed a new four-year deal, Greg, which is a bit humiliating for Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? I think we've seen it coming the last few weeks. The longer it went on, the more it looked like Jamie Vardy would decide to stay at Leicester. And it's embarrassing for Arsenal, but I think longer term, it's not a bad thing. I'm not sure he would particularly suit their style of play. He's very good at what he does, but how often do you see Arsenal playing 60-yard balls over the defence for a striker who's on the halfway line? It doesn't really happen. It was a good price for a decent striker, but I'm not sure he would deliver the same results, 24 goals in Premier League this season in another side. I mean, he scored 5 goals last season in the Premier League, so that shows you it was an incredible season. He's a good player, but not a great player. I don't think he would have suited Arsenal.
Do you think this will precipitate a move for Morata now for Arsenal, or are they going to be looking at alternatives?
I think they went for Vardy already because they were getting a bit of jittery about Morata. Morata was the one they were talking about for a couple of months before the transfer window. Vardy kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? First thing on Morata, I think Real Madrid want to have a look at him now. It did look like they'd buy him back and then sell him straight on with Chelsea, to Chelsea, Arsenal or Man United. But now I think Zidane, he needs a number nine. Remember, they potentially got a transfer window ban coming. Questions over Benzema's future still. I think they want to have a look at him first, and then there's an awful lot of competition because Chelsea and Man United like him too. So I think in the first place, Arsenal were going for Vardy as an alternative to Morata because they were worried they wouldn't get him. But if they want him now, they're going to have to make a big push.
James, I mean, Morata's looked like what Spain have needed for years and years and years. People said it. People thought it was going to be Diego Costa, like a proper number nine, someone who can get the goals. Is he going to be the difference maker in the Spain-Italy game? Because that looks to be... tactically, I mean, there's not going to be many goals.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, Spain finally have a guy who can hold the ball up but can actually run the channels as well. They've had either or before. I think Conte has massively mucked up in the group stages. He's basically lost all the momentum out of the Belgium win by making too many changes.
Nine changes.
Did it both games. The Sweden game, they were awful. And the Ireland game last night, it was a lot of change again. They just didn't turn up. So you've got, yes, you've got freshness, but... now it's almost they're fresh, but they lack practice. They lack match sharpness now. Mm. So he hasn't struck the balance well at all for me. I think that's going to be a comfortable Spain win. Going back to Arsenal, where are they going to go after Vardy now? I can see Arsenal going for Aubameyang because, I mean, Aubameyang really wants to go to Real Madrid. He always references his granddad's Real Madrid fan. He's got family from Spain. He said that his granddad's dying wish is a pretty heavy, like, oh, I want to move there. But... like Greg said, they've got a transfer ban. They're probably going to keep Benzema. I reckon they'll keep Morata now. Look weird selling the top scorer at the Euro, potentially top scorer at the Euros, yeah, a month after he comes back. I think, yeah, that would look strange.
They usually sign the top scorer at the Euros. Don't,
yeah,
they?
So yeah. Don't strengthen a big rival. Yeah. Like Juve get absolutely criticised so much for loaning out Koeman to Bayern on a 2-year deal. Like, I think they'll be mindful of doing something similar.
Yeah. Amar, let's look at the weaker side of, well, the weaker side. Let's look at the, you know, not the blockbuster side of the draw. And, you know, I was listening earlier on, but, you know, there's the three strongest teams that we've seen in the group stages are probably Croatia, Portugal and Belgium out of those. I mean, now Hungary have been very impressive, but it's, you know, Croatia and Portugal play each other. So it looks ripe for Belgium to make it all the way to the final, despite the fact that they've kind of not been great. Wilmots, he's not a good manager, is he?
I think Belgium have been fortunate so far. They've certainly relied on individual moments of individual brilliance rather than having a really coherent system, really great tactics. Wilmots has been quite average as a coach. And I really think the way that draw, the side of that draw is shaping up, I think Wales should be looking at seriously targeting a semi-final place. If they get past Northern Ireland, then you'd fancy their chances against Belgium. Indeed, they beat Belgium in qualifying, so I don't see why they wouldn't fancy their chances against Belgium if it was to be a Wales-Belgium quarterfinal. Also, in addition to that, Croatia just look absolutely fantastic. On that side of the draw, I'd say Croatia are certainly the best team. And if I had to pick a finalist from that side of the draw, it'd be Croatia beating Wales in the semi-final.
Croatia beating Wales in the semi-final. They still got Modric to come back as well.
Exactly, so. Exactly. Mm. And you know, they've played so well. They played so well against Spain. And yeah, Modric coming back in just is the icing on the cake for them.
James, there's a lot to look forward to. And the knockout rounds start on Saturday. What's been your sort of biggest surprise, biggest disappointment from the group stages? What sort of caught you off guard and what sort of let you down?
I think biggest surprise is Croatia and Perisic. He's, mm-hmm, he's been... the dark horse player of the tournament? Was
dark
that a thing?
Horse player.
Like, there you Black go. We've created another thing there. They've basically got the sort of counter-attacking game that can rip apart any big team. Mm. They should I agree with Amal. I think Croatia are going to make the final now. I've really flip-flopped on that. I don't think they make it out of the group, but they're finalists now. I've hopped on the bandwagon big time there. Biggest disappointment has been the lack of entertainment, I think. When you compare it to... the World Cup, I think games are really defined by their opening, tournaments are really defined by their opening game, and a stodgy France win with a last minute goal has kind of been
what's happened
every game in the tournament. It was a great goal, but it's kind of defined the tournament. A stodgy game, drab affair, decided by a last minute winner. It was only really yesterday it's got going, isn't it? And all the big names have kind of disappointed. Before Cristiano Ronaldo yesterday, he was having a poor tournament. Müller's been bad. Ibrahimovic was awful. Lewandowski hasn't had a shot on target in all three group games yet. So I think the centre midfielders have played really well. All your standouts like Modric, Rakitic, Iniesta, Busquets, but even Eric Dier. But all the big attackers haven't really got going yet.
Greg, James makes a very valid point. Is that because the qualification? Anytime.
Phone change. Yeah.
is that down to the frankly baffling and a bit odd qualification system? I mean, you that final game, England Slovakia. I mean, Slovakia had no interest in winning that game whatsoever. Has that led to, you know, some of these drab games?
Yeah, it wasn't the only game like that either, was it? It was all a bit confusing. We didn't really know who was doing what, but like Macca said right at the start, it felt like it's easier to get through to the last 16 than to get knocked
There's
out.
There's no real incentive to attack, is there? Like, teams can sit back knowing four points from three games will definitely get you through.
Yeah, the last 5 minutes between Hungary and Portugal yesterday.
It was a joke.
It was such a great match, and then the last 5 minutes, they're just passing it around their back fours, not even trying to win the game, which was really disappointing. After
it's
such
like the
a
Simpsons
attack,
clip of when they take the mickey out of like football. It's like there's two guys, two centre-backs knocking it to each other, back to the middle, back to the defence. Like, it was like that. It's borderline. It's basically what they try to stamp out with match fixing by making all the teams kick off at the same time in the 80s, because it's Germany, East Germany and West Germany played out a draw. So
East
Germany went out. It's basically gone back to that. Like, everyone's kicking off at the same time, but everyone knows before kickoff, they don't really have to do much. So,
if you haven't seen it, there was a note from the Portuguese manager passed on to the pitch, which basically said something like, "Don't attack anymore." When it was at 3-3, because both teams were guaranteed qualification.
You've got Cristiano Ronaldo on a hat trick,
not attacking.
Yeah. Give it to Pepe.
Yeah,
and at the time Portugal were going into the bad side of the draw, and they were about to play England as well. Yeah. But they were happy to take the draw.
Yeah, and Iceland got a late goal, but I mean, it resulted in a situation where Hungary completed about 100 passes in the last 5 minutes, and Gabor Kirali started doing trick shots in his jogging bottoms.
Yeah, and he's rubbish as
he's
well.
He's awful. So. He's not a great goal. I mean, it's great to have a cult hero like that, but he's awful. Greg, what's your been sort of biggest surprise, biggest disappointment from Euro 2016 so far?
Well, we've mentioned a few times some of the big names not performing, but of all of them, I think you've got to say Zlatan Ibrahimovic was the worst. I mean, he barely did anything. Forced the own goal against Republic of Ireland, but other than that, went completely missing and
really poor.
And we've been talking about how easy it is to get into the last 16. The fact that Sweden aren't even there and you've got Republic of Ireland there says a lot about Zlatan's performance, because he's supposed to carry that team and he didn't.
He got an injury just before the tournament, didn't he? I think he kind of got nursed through PSG's last couple of games. He had a slight knock, and he definitely looked like he came into the tournament not looking sharp at all.
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing for him as well, though, considering the amount of media attention he was getting before the tournament, all the legendary stuff, the amount he was trying to wind up the media about his transfer and talking himself up, and then he goes to the tournament and plays like that and fails to score a goal.
Having said that, you just know he's going to do a Facebook Live announcement sponsored by Mr. Potato or
Mr. Potato.
Some Manchester United brand is going to sponsor it, announcing his deal to Manchester United. He's still stardust, isn't he?
I think he'll still do well at United if he goes there.
I mean, I think the fact that he'll have much better players around him than what he plays with on the Swedish national team is going to make a huge difference. Players with pace that can do the running for him, like Martial, for example. But for me, you know, yeah, Zlatan was a massive disappointment.
It's a sad way to end such an illustrious career.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's been playing all season for PSG, the exceptional team in Ligue 1 by far, the most expensively assembled squad in Ligue 1 in the history of Ligue 1, you know. And he's, you know, against some fairly poor teams, let's face it. There's three or four good teams in France. The rest are pretty poor. And he's playing with Di Maria and Cavani and Lucas Moura and all these exceptional quick players. And I think, you know, he's brought that style of play to Sweden this summer, and it hasn't worked. And I think for Sweden, they should have deployed him more as a number nine. He has a tendency to drift deep, to drift really deep. And then in the end, he just becomes really ineffective because he plays like a number 10 without a proper number 9 in front of him.
Amar, what's been your biggest letdown of the tournament? I mean, everyone was saying Ronaldo before that last game. He got his two goals against Hungary. What's been your sort of biggest disappointment?
I think I had high hopes for Harry Kane, actually. I think we all felt at the start of this tournament, and look, he could still come good. So, you know, let's not write the career obituaries just yet. But we all looked at the start of this tournament and thought, actually, Kane looks in good nick. You know, when he scored in the warm-up games, I think it was against Turkey, everyone was like, the stage is set now for Harry Kane to be the Alan Shearer / Teddy Sheringham hybrid of both for England at this tournament. And he has been absolutely poor. He looks shattered. He looks exhausted. And he's been a big disappointment. The
thing I'd say on Kane is, I mean, once he gets one, he might be okay. I mean, at the start of the season, he went on that horrible run, didn't score for the first 9 games, and then a goal a game, more or less, for the rest of the season. And by all accounts, in training, he's still been the best striker and the best finisher. And Jamie Vardy's been pretty disappointing.
In training, apparently. Really?
So I think Kane's going to come back in the team on Monday, and actually playing Iceland might benefit England more than playing against Portugal, because if he gets a couple of goals then he's in the team against France, and maybe we see the Harry Kane we've been watching for Tottenham for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't criticise Kane too much. I don't think he's been helped out by Hodgson. He's been stuck on corners. He's been playing up front on his own, and then we've gone to two up front, and it looks a bit like he hasn't had any support.
What I'd like to see from Kane is a bit more arrogance. He seems very humble. He seems quite a simple man in a way. I guess that sounds quite insulting, but I'd like to see a bit more swagger from him, a bit more arrogance, a bit of the Zlatan, even a bit of the Daniel Sturridge from him. He's England's. If he came into this tournament as England's main man, the Premier League golden boot holder, I wanted to see him really come and take that ownership, and he just doesn't seem to have that.
Can he do that with Wayne Rooney around, though? That is the elephant in the
ego. Well, Wayne Rooney's moved to
room.
Midfield to accommodate Harry Kane, so that should be a signal to say, I'm the main man now.
I think he is incredibly confident. I mean, it never bothers him when he misses chances and he backs himself. Yeah. I think the issue is more tactically, because when he's at Tottenham, he gets the ball and Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli and Eric Lamela are within 10 yards of him most of the time. Whereas with England, we're playing this nice football in the middle of the park, but actually there's a 20, 30 yard gap and no one's really coming off the wings, and Adam Lallana's not a goal scorer or brilliant creator in that area.
Lallana and Sterling aren't the ones you want to play with Kane, I don't think. Yeah. Give him a partner, like give him Sturridge or Vardy, someone to bounce
I think he'll play alongside Sturridge, and he's not been on the pitch at the same time.
That's a combination that we'd love to see, actually.
They've not been on the pitch at the same time yet, and I think they will be against Iceland. I think that could work quite nicely, because Sturridge will look to drive in, he'll look to play it into his feet, play those 1-2s, and all of a sudden he might be able to open teams up.
My concern would be that both of them have been drifting into midfield a lot in this tournament when they have been on the pitch, and you just hope that one of them holds their line, you know, actually really, really, you know, plays as a number 9 and the other one drops deep, because they both can play sort of 9, 9.5, 10.
Yeah, I'd say give Sturridge, let Sturridge wander about wherever he wants. He's brilliant at that. He can take the ball. He's our only striker, really, that can take the ball past players with ease, and just let Harry Kane stand on the penalty spot and say, mark me, I'm better than you.
Yeah, Harry Kane's not your something out of nothing, drop a shoulder, run past 3 players, stick in the top corner player. He needs the service a bit more than Daniel Sturridge. You can make something happen.
And if there's 20 minutes to go and England need a goal, bring on Rashford. That's what he's been taken for.
Bring on Rashford. Bring on Vardy.
And, you know, bring on Klein or Walker, because they've both been brilliant as well.
Bring on all the fullbacks. Well, Euro 2016 is surprisingly not the only major tournament taking place at the moment. The Copa America is reaching its conclusion. Amar, who do you think is going to take that home? Who's going to win that?
I think you have to back Argentina. The win over the USA was emphatic. The goal from Messi was amazing. I think Messi wants to get his hands on some silverware with Argentina, so I fancy Argentina.
James, do you agree with that? Messi?
I'm going Chile. They've had a harder run there. They're a bit more tournament ready. I said in the office the other day, they're historically pretty good in tournaments now. Like, they're a tournament side.
Very good tournament
record. Like the Germany or Italy of South America. I'm going with Chile.
Greg?
Well, Chile won it last year, and I think it's time for revenge. So I'm going to say Argentina, inspired, as Amar says, by Messi, who's not doing his harm in the US. Any his harm in the US?
Greg Stobart has forgotten how to speak English.
He's definitely not doing his harmony.
Yeah, that's quite impressive. Well done. Well, that seems like a perfect place to end the show, actually, Greg, with Greg losing all function in his mouth, as it were. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to Amar, James, and Greg. We're going to go off and leave this extremely hot podcast room. Leave you to get on with your day. There's plenty of more podcast action coming up very, very soon. Enjoy the rest of the Euros. Bye-bye.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.